Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The Cubby House is a show about two cub-identifying guys exploring the big and hairy issues in and around the bear community.
This program is designed for a mature audience. It may contain adult themes, sex and drug references, and of course, coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to the Cubby House for the 6th of February 2012. I'm Cookie.
And I'm Kevin.
And thank you very much once again to Kiss My Arts for another wonderful show. Tonight we are introducing a host we've had on before. A guest we've had on before.
Yes, another repeat offender.
Unfortunately so. Hello, Mr. Raymond Lee.
Good evening.
Wonderful. As you can see, he's still very charismatic from the wind that must have hit him yesterday that concealed his face in such a figure.
We've had an absolutely crazy last couple of weeks having, survived Melbourne Midsummer.
Yes.
But there have been lots of fantastic events out there, and I hope everyone had a fantastic time.
I know I did. But tonight, I thought we'd kick the show off after we've found out a little bit more about Ray that we may not have known before.
And may not want to know at all.
True.
Oh.
We're going to have a little chat about one of Ray's favourite topics, comics, and that of sexuality.
In the Bear News, we'll cover Sydney Mardi Gras 2012.
In the Kink Corner this week, we'll be looking at the colours grey and mustard.
We'll go slightly political with a bit more information about the resources that are available for the LGBTI community.
And you can get your geek on this week with Star Wars The Old Republic, the game that's caused so many more outrages thanks to Christianity.
Not quite correct, but okay.
Close to
we'll find out more information about that very soon. And then just to wrap the show up, we'll go through some of the highlights of the Pride March Victoria.
Which I unfortunately wasn't in attendance because I was working.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was brilliant, but we'll get on to that a little bit later. Thanks. Now, we do have a discussion topic for tonight's show. We would like to know, what does the Sydney Mardi Gras mean to you? Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
What?
Nothing.
You were just looking at me funny.
I always look at you funny, Cookie.
Yeah, it must be your eyes, I swear. You've got to really get that checked out.
But we're not really interested in us right now, are we? We've got a guest host.
Exactly.
Oh, me. You know, for a little while, we should probably pretend that we care about him.
Yes, I know.
I bought you a drink. You said you'd love me forever.
How many guys have said that? Never mind. So, because we, are very inquisitive and we want to know everything about you, pump you for all that information we can.
Uh-huh.
By the way, people, this is Raymond Lee.
This is Ray Lee. And we have a series of rapid-fire questions we would like to ask you.
So, really?
The first thing that pops into your head when we say, what's your age?
My real age? 37.
Name one thing you miss about being a kid.
New release He-Man figures.
Do you have any hidden talents left?
No, I think they've pretty much all been exposed.
What body part do you get caught staring at?
The butt. I'm a butt, but I mean, not for, pointing to poke and put things in there, but aesthetically they're nice and to hold.
Yeah. What is the last thing you bought?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yes.
Doctor Who DVD.
Okay, so what's your...
Nerd!
What's your current obsession?
Well, I'm tailing off my current obsession of Skyrim. That's right, guys. I'm a game nerd too.
Oh, God.
But I'm level 51. I'm nearly finished.
Do you have any phobias?
Yes. One. Not you, Kevin. You don't rank. You don't rank my phobias.
Right. Okay. Sexually, what melts your butter?
Tactile. I love a good set of hands, especially on my back. That makes me go gooey very easily.
Mm-hmm. So you wake up in a prison cell. What's most likely the crime you've committed?
I don't know. What's the crime when you've had rampant sex with too many men?
I could say something right now, but I won't.
It was Tasmania a few years ago, maybe, but no.
Behave yourself. All right, so you're about to be stranded on a desert island, and you can only carry up to 3 possessions. What would they be?
A computer and a very long extension cord and a wireless modem. It's a bloody long extension cord.
Uh-huh. Have you answered any of these questions with a lie, my friend?
Alas, no. My nose has not grown. Look up, Kevin, my nose.
I say nothing. So how did you actually get involved in the bear community?
I think I fell into the community when I was a lot younger, young lad, mid-20s.
Did he survive the bruise?
Yes. I landed on my soft parts when I was brought
in. Did he survive the bruise?
I was actually brought into the lair by a lovely gentleman who was an older gentleman, Mr. Father Ken, to those of you who know him out there, who introduced me to the lair, and he's regretted it ever since.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure so is the venue. And do you think the bear community has changed over the last couple of years?
Very much so. It's actually matured quite well. It's gone from just being a target, a venue to go for your sexual interests, to a whole rounded community where people go for other aspects of their life, not just getting off.
Sounds like a fine wine that's been let to breathe.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, yes.
And one that you can share and not feel bad about having sloppy seconds.
Oh, it's all about sharing with you, isn't it? Don't answer that question. Anyway, last question is, describe the first time you went to a gay bar.
I was shitting bricks. And I mean, I'm not like... I was very, very scared. The first time you walk through those doors, if you're uninitiated, you don't know what to expect. You know, who knows what you're going to see beyond there? You know, you're worried you might see a leather man wanting to tear your clothes off or whatever. And you step inside and there's the leather man and he's discussing curtains.
And now you look forward to the leather man, you know, stripping your clothes off, don't you?
What he did in my lounge room was fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And for everyone, that is Ray Lee.
Thank you.
And you'll hear more from Rayleigh in a few more minutes here on Joy 94.9.
What sort of lie was it?
I don't
You're
know.
Beautiful, Ray.
Oh, really? Oh.
Something that isn't a lie, and is Raymond, an avid comic reader and critic, would be one of the very few people I'd actually know to tell you about the epidemic that is the comics. One thing that's been challenging within the public perception of sexuality has been through the comic movement.
Correct. As the media have moved on and have been more accepting about homosexuality, so have the comics.
Yay! So
they're finally catching up.
All right. Marvel and DC are probably the two biggest universes as far as comics go, amongst all others. So what would be the three most sexually shaking characters out of those universes?
Well, there's a couple of different couplings. Now, most of them, I'd say at the moment, are Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
DC's lagging a bit with their sexual revolution. Recently, they've had a main character, the new Batwoman, revealed as a lesbian. Or she wasn't revealed. She was actually brought out straight away as a lesbian.
Right.
And she's a lovely woman, as far as she's an attractive woman. She's very capable. And they're actually playing up the fact that she can be both beautiful and dynamic. And she just happens to like women, too.
Oh, good.
Marvel, on the other hand, have been very revolutionary on the topic. They've always had characters that have been out there a little bit, right from the 80s with a character from the X-Men field of characters called Northstar, who was a champion skier from Canada. And it was great. Well, they tried to bring him out in the 80s, but the editors were a bit afraid, and they said, oh, he's a bit gay. And then when the readership went, I beg your pardon, oh, we meant he's a fairy. He's really a fairy.
Right.
And they retconned it to be he was actually half-elf.
Okay.
And then they later on said, no, we really meant gay.
Right.
Other characters recently have come out, such as in the X Factor title, we've had long-term characters who have been around since the 80s, Richter and Shatterstar both reveal their desires to each other.
Right.
Which is a real earth-shattering thing that these characters all of a sudden turn around and go, yeah, didn't you know? And also other recent titles such as Young Avengers, where you've got youth coming out now. And so you've got characters that are young and relatable to like 18-year-olds. Coming forward and saying, yes, we're securing ourselves to say that, hey, we're superheroes and we like to meet on the side for coffees and discreet meetings.
What do you think are the reasons that they're bringing out these characters now?
Well, it's in reaction to that. They know that the readers are changing. The readerships are getting older and they're, not older, but more mature, and they're able to take different topics. These are topics they can see out in the real world, and they want to show them. They want stories to relate that match to the people that are reading it.
Yes, right.
I mean, this has also been a reflection of the fact that for many, many years previously, there was a very strict code on how comics were written, that they had to abide by a set of rules written in the 50s about what you could and couldn't discuss. Right. So you couldn't discuss drug use, or you couldn't, you know, talk about homosexuality, show blood, or you couldn't use the B word, as in the one for a female dog, which I'm not allowed to mention on air, apparently.
No, we will beat you if you do.
So you would have this evil character get up and go, "You stay away from her, you witch!" And it's like, oh, is that the best you got? But those comic codes were sort of eased off and basically left in the wayside in the 90s, leaving way for more interesting stories and more adult storytellings.
Okay. Now, again, I'm a bit of a Marvel fanatic myself, so I'll relate a lot of the things I think of to X-Men and so forth. So, say, Cyclops and Jean Grey, they'd be one of the big heteronormative power couples.
If the fact you didn't keep dying all the time.
Yeah, true. Now, excluding the obvious, say, the Batman and Robin fantasy coupling, what would be the biggest gay power couple and why?
Oh, this is interesting, because this is a couple that actually came from a different, not Marvel or DC. They're from a mob called Wildstorm, which have now been bought out by DC, Apollo and Midnighter. And to give you an example of who these people are, they're the Superman and Batman of their world.
Right.
So you've got this godlike man with blonde hair and muscles in his skin-tight suit dating the man in black who's mysterious with his black outfit hiding in the shadows. And it's all very mysterious, but given that both of them are very, very, very powerful, I don't think anybody's going to go up and complain about them being fags.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That would be an interesting look.
Well, people have tried, and bits of them survived.
Just bits?
Just bits.
Any good bits?
No.
Oh, damn.
But yeah, comics have come a long way, and there's continually titles tackling both, not just gay issues, but also general community issues. There was some fantastic stuff written in The Incredible Hulk in the 80s, where they tackled AIDS, where one of the long-term characters from the 70s was revealed to be HIV positive, and a whole storyline about, you know, he's turning around saying, "Well, you're a superhero, can't you help me?" And they literally said, you know, it's a disease. It's not, you know, it's not something a superpower can cure. And some very heartfelt storylines around that. And also topics written in non-superhero comics. An amazing comic written in the 90s was Pedro and Me, written by a star of a reality TV show, Judd Winnick, about his reaction in being in their version of The Big Brother, which was called The Real Life, where he shared a room with a man who was HIV positive. And there's a lovely story about how he stayed with this guy till his life ended.
So there you go. If you want to get into some comics, there's some ones to go and look up. And if you missed any of those, you can always go back and listen to the podcast, which will be available later next week. From around the den to around the globe, this is the Bear News.
The Sydney Mardi Gras... Sorry, I'm going to have to get this right because I keep calling it the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras. It is. The Sydney Mardi Gras is an annual LGBTQI pride parade and festival in Sydney, Australia, and draws in thousands of visitors from around Australia and overseas. It is one of the largest such festivals in the world and includes a variety of events, such as Sydney Mardi Gras Parade and Party, the Bondi Beach Drag Races, Harbour Party, the Queer Thinking, which is the Academy Discussion Panel, the Mardi Gras Film Festival, and Fair Day, which sees about 70,000 people converging in Victoria Park in Sydney.
Only.
Now, the festival is attended by many domestic and international attendees and is one of Australia's biggest tourist events, generating around an annual income of about $30 million for the state of New South Wales alone. It's the second largest event in terms of economic impact as well. Now, the celebration emerged from the late 1970s in a response to the arrests that were made during pro-gay rights protest, the first such parade being held on the 24th of June 1978 as a nighttime celebration following a morning protest march and the commemoration of the Stonewall riots. Even though the organisers had obtained permission for the event, this was revoked and the march was broken up by the police. 58 marchers were then arrested, and while only two of these were fined, the Sydney Morning Herald published the full names of those arrested, leading to many of them losing their jobs. Remember that homosexuality was still a crime in New South Wales until 1984. The police response transformed the event into one of national significance, which stimulated gay rights and laws reform campaigns. In 1988, the parade was renamed the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, and in 2012, it was again renamed to the Sydney Mardi Gras, to allow for greater inclusion in the LGBTQI community it represents. This move has sparked a huge debate within the LGBTQI community, with some of the community saying that they have de-gayed the festival. The mid-1980s also saw considerable pressure placed on the Mardi Gras Committee following media controversy regarding AIDS, And despite calls for the party parade to be banned, the 1985 parade went ahead with the theme of fighting for our lives. The parade maintains a political edge, with many floats marching in support of, I'm going to try this again, LGBTQI rights. For instance, marriage equality was a dominant theme in the 2011 Sydney Mardi Gras parade, and at least 15 floats lobbied for same-sex marriage. Surviving consistent opposition from numerous sources of various religious and political affiliation, due to claims of inherent subversion of religious values, the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras has always been about inspiring the world to love each other by celebrating the power and beauty of diversity, as their mission statement says. This year's festival runs from the 2nd of February to the 4th of March, and for more information on past events, the impact on the LGBTQI community, as well as this year's lineup, check out the Sydney Mardi Gras website at www.mardigras.org.au.
Now, tonight we've actually got a bit of a discussion around that particular topic, and it is, what does the Sydney Mardi Gras mean to you?
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
And thank you very much to everybody who has SMS'd and commented on Facebook so far.
Now, we just want to let you know that our SMS line is currently down. So the best way to
I'll put the plug back in and I thought I fixed it.
Yeah, it's all your fault. Anyway, the SMS line and email is down at the moment. So the best way to actually get part of the discussion, I'm going to mute your mic. The best way to get hold of the discussion or join in the discussion is to jump on our Facebook page. And for those people that missed it, it's facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. Now, we have had some very good responses. Kendall says, it's not really about work or fun. It's the new Mardi Gras peeps have become way too political and commercial. It is a shadow of its former self. I've given it a wide berth for the last few years and have not missed it at all. Even the Sydney venues and Oxford Street have sold out to the accepted club scene. Sad but true. Now, I'm going to disagree on that one. As we've just heard, it actually started as a political protest. So it hasn't lost its roots. More than anything, it's kind of gone back to its roots.
I mean, we do appreciate that it does look fabulous and everyone wants to look at it. But the core of it is, it's there getting us recognized.
It's about raising awareness. And, you know, as they said, it's about, you know, teaching or inspiring the world to love each other by celebrating the power and beauty of diversity by showing the diversity.
Yes. And I think, as much as I like to think that having gay and lesbian there kind of gives it a point of illustration, it also hemorrhages how much diversity there can be just in its title.
Well, I mean, even in, you know, that acronym, which seems to be growing very, very, very long, we've got lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender, queer, and intersex. Now, you can't really call it the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex Mardi Gras parade.
It does sort of lose its impact when you get to stop for a breath three times.
It does a little bit.
Yes.
But it is a approach that people do want to be recognised, but taking it all out loses the impact as well. It's the Sydney Mardi Gras. What? It's the based on the city? Are we going to have everyone in it next year? It's going like Moomba.
Well, I mean, no one will ever, you know, it won't lose that queer impact. It can't. It's been running for so long and we know that that is the main drive for it.
But losing the word sort of dilutes it.
Well, it does. I can see both sides of that argument.
Yeah.
And again, there's the idea that Brazil's Rio de Janeiro's Mardi Gras is more about a festival rather than celebrating anything particular. And I think there was somebody who commented that it was more of a tourist attraction rather than a celebration of diversity.
That's a point. I mean, put gay back in gay Mardi Gras.
I can see both sides of that argument. Jack, our beloved Jack, which we just seen can't seem to get rid of.
Oh, no.
Didn't we tie him up?
Unfortunately, he got loose. Anyway, Jack says, I've never been to Mardi Gras, or Sydney at that, right? You've never been to Sydney?
Well, you know, they won't let him cross the border. Well,
anyway, it seems to be a big, bright street party, but it seems to have lost of its radicalism. Your English are good. Maybe not. I think, you know, there is still some protest in there. I know for a fact that there is one protest that is being put together, which I'm personally looking forward to.
Quick
we
poll.
Might have some more information on that later.
Quick poll. Who's been here to Mardi Gras parade?
Me. I do, but I keep missing the actual parade because I run, anyone who knows me knows I run horrendously late.
Right.
And I always manage
you
to get there.
You ran late for Mardi Gras.
I always manage to get there just as the parade ends, where they take the booms down and then everyone just runs into the street and there's this massive Pashathon with random Mardi Gras Pashas.
So you weren't there for the parade?
No, I missed it. Oh, I've watched it on television.
It's not the same thing, is
it? Have you been?
I've marched a few years, and I have to say it's the most amazing experience. To compare it, for people who have never been to Mardi Gras, walking down Oxford Street in the middle of Sydney, it's not like Moomba where you've got a couple of people waving to you from the sides. You're talking tens of thousands of people screaming at you all at once. The energy is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
To hear a whole side of Oxford Street just going woof, 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 it's outrageously exciting and wonderful.
Yeah, I have to admit it's...
How one gay of the, was that?
Don't make me hurt you.
It's one of the few times I've actually camped out, I'll admit. So, yes, that's got to say something in itself.
But we want to hear your feedback. So, please jump on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thecubbyhouse, and have your say. Like the page while you're there.
And here on the Cubby House, it's time for my regular segment. Be careful what you're wearing. You never know what you're asking for here on the Kink Corner. That's right. Tonight, we are looking at two more colours of the hanky code, which you may or may not know of. They are grey and mustard. Now, grey, for those who might have used it in recent times, is for bondage. And it's the use of rope or other restraining types for sexual pleasure. It may be used in its own right or as a component of a sexual activity or a BDSM scene. Some people regard bondage to be erotically stimulating or sexually arousing. Bondage features in some sexual fantasy roleplay scenarios, such as the obvious cops and robbers. Many people regard bondage as safe when conducted between sober, trusted partners who are fully aware of the risks involved and the precautions necessary to ensure safety. Partners who are in a committed relationship may have greater basis for trusting each other, and performing acts in a supervised location, such as a dungeon, or with a group of trusted friends may also increase safety. There is also a subculture who seek out others interested in bondage and pursue such activities with people who they do not know well. This subculture has given rise to the safe and sane and consensual credo. Now, some people who have been put in a long-term deep bondage, or otherwise known as mummification, have been reported to have had out-of-body experiences, and there are some who desire to be put in deep bondage for this reason. Now, you may have noticed I've mentioned safety a couple of times in this particular description, and it's not something I'm going to touch on right now. It's actually something I will leave for another show as a concept in itself, because safety in all forms of kink play is a very big issue, and there are a lot of ideas as to how to do it, and I'm actually going to describe some of them on a later show.
Are you talking like safety words and stuff?
Safety words, actions, all those sorts of things.
And just the basic rights and responsibilities of each role as well?
That's correct. Cool. So
all I remember is don't make the word too long because you don't want to forget it.
Quiet you.
Can I take these straps off now?
No. You gotta have some fun here. Now, the other colour which we're looking at here on the Kink Corner is mustard.
Yum. You're talking about the food, right?
No.
Oh, please tell us what mustard means now after he said yum.
Yeah, size queen, dear.
All of a sudden, I'm sort of gagging, but I don't know why.
Really wonderful. Now, a size queen in this particular instance is someone who is, well, traditionally known as 8 inches or more.
That all.
Now, the term for a size queen is obviously someone who wants the larger than average penis. And for those who are interested, the average size penis is 12.5 to 15 centimetres or 5 to 6 inches.
Please note, the average is 5 to 6.
Real inches, not internet.
Yes, that's on an erect one. So yes. Now, when compared to other primates, this is here's a fun point. Including large primates such as the gorilla, the genitalia of the male humans are larger in proportion to the size of the body.
Okay. Who went out and pulled the gorilla's penises? Really? What the hell was Diane Fossey doing out there on her own?
Quiet you. Let him finish.
Gorilla's in the mist. I can't watch that film anymore.
I'm going to mute him.
Yep, muted. Noted and muted. Now, in ancient Greece and Renaissance art, an uncircumcised and small penis were culturally seen as desirable in a man, whereas a bigger or circumcised penis was viewed as comical or grotesque. Still makes me do it. Oh. Sorry, can't hear you. Right?
Okay, yeah. I have to say, is there a colour that is anti-size queen?
I don't know, but we'll find out in another show. The perception of having a large penis is often linked to higher self-esteem, and for women, width is rather than length in more important terms of sexual simulation. Now, there is a wonderful last point. Fear of shrinking of the penis in folklore has led to a type of mass hysteria called penis panic. I'm sorry, I just love that idea of penis panic.
Thank you for another thrilling and entertaining episode of Kink Corner.
Thank you very much. This is the...
Cubby House.
Come on, untie me now, guys.
No.
Yes, now we've got a new topic. There's no theme song for this one yet because I haven't recorded one.
We can make one up.
Because you just made it on the spot,
no,
didn't
you? No, it's called Slightly Political. Quiet, you. I really do need a writing crop. As it states on the Australian Human Rights Commission webpage, everyone has the right to be respected and safe, regardless of their race, ethnicity, religion, gender, sexual orientation, disability, or age. Violence, harassment, and bullying are violations of these fundamental human rights. Sexual orientation and sex and or gender identity are integral to every person's dignity and humanity and must not be the basis for discrimination or abuse. In the last few weeks, I've seen a lot of negative and inflammatory press about what it means to be part of the LGBTI community. And I thought we'd take some time out to remind us of some of the great services out there that support us in those times when we need help. The first one is Reach Out. Now, Reach Out is a web-based service that aims to improve the mental health and well-being of all Australian young people, many aged between 40 and 25. And it provides them with the information, support and skill development, and by working with health professionals to strengthen the pathways between online and community-based service delivery. Now, some of the topics that, you know, they tackle on the website include mental health difficulties, alcohol and other drugs, family and other relationships, managing independence, loss and grief, physical health issues, safety violence, school, uni and TAFE, sex and pregnancy, because that is obviously sometimes an outcome.
Mm-hmm. You are showing.
Luca's talking. Sexuality and gender. Now, you can obviously find out more information for yourself at reachout.com.
The next one, which I'd like to point out, is the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. Now, they are... Gay and Lesbian Switchboard Victoria Incorporated is a volunteer organisation which provides a telephone counselling service, referral and information services for the Victorian and Tasmanian LGBTI communities, family and friends of LGBTI individuals, as well as health and welfare professionals with GLBTI.
How many more times can we fit that acronym in?
I know. Switchboard services is free and anonymous and confidential, and their phones are staffed by extensively trained volunteers who themselves are part of the LGBTI community.
One more.
Ding. Switchboards train volunteers, counsellors, receive calls from a wide range of people. Queer folk who may be experiencing problems at work, in their relationships or with their family. People who are coming out as lesbian, gay, bisexual or transgender. And family or friends of people who are gay or lesbian. Some issues may be related to a caller's sexuality, or a caller will often choose to call our service about issues not related to sexuality but prefer the help of a GLBTI organisation. Please note that the switchboard is open on Monday through Thursday, 6 to 10pm, Wednesdays 2 to 10pm, and Friday, Saturday and Sunday, 6 to 9pm. You can find out more information on the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard at www.switchboard.org.au.
And the last one I just wanted to point out is the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers with the Victorian Police. Now, they're available at various police stations throughout the state, and it is important to note that even though they are, any police member in Victoria is technically able to take and report a crime. And, of course, you need to contact the police station to do this. Gay and Lesbian Liaison officers are specially trained in GLBTI issues, and they have a working knowledge of GLBTI communities and are sensitive to the issues that the community faces. These issues can include prejudice motivated crimes, same-sex relationship, family violence, stalking, assault, sexual assault, abusive phone calls, neighborhood harassment, beats, and drink spiking. Victorian Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers assist by providing discreet, non-judgmental advice and assistance in reporting of crimes. Please note, if the matter is urgent, you should always telephone 000. Now, there are many, many other resources that are out there to help you navigate the number of voices out there that are trying to tell you exactly why the feelings you're having are wrong. And always remember that you are not alone. Do not hesitate to look out there for any social events or groups that you can go along to become a member of, such as our very own Vic Bears, which allow you to network with a group of people out there that are just like you. Now, in case you missed any other information, we'll go through the websites again. It's reachout.com, switchboard.org.au, and police.vic.gov.au.
Please note, everyone out there, that I know a lot of our listeners are out in the community, but also to those that aren't out and don't get out, please, if you do need to talk to somebody, please contact these people. They do want to hear from you. You may feel alone or disenfranchised. These people are there to listen to you. So make the effort and give them a call.
And there's also our own Joy 94.9, which you are listening to here on the FM dial. You're on Joy 94.9 with the Cubby House, and it's time for our regular segments.
Exploring the world, keeping you jacked in and turned on. That's right, get your geek on.
Now, a news item that's been brought to my attention thanks to news.com.au, and apparently the biggest threat to the Star Wars universe is, no, it's not the dark side. According to US Christian groups, the Family Research Council, it's homosexuality. Are we so surprised? They hit out at the developers of the video game Star Wars The Old Republic for allowing the game's characters to have same-sex relationships. Game developers BioWare has recently published a same-sex romance component updating the multiplayer online game after receiving... Turn page here. Complaints from gamers. There you go. Now, apparently BioWare also has brought out games with same-sex couplings, such as Dragon Age 2, which we've mentioned a fair few shows ago, as well as...
Mass Effect as well.
Mass Effect 2.
The developer has shown in the past a very forward-thinking way of allowing people to choose with the if they do coupling in the game with relationships, whether the couplings are hetero or homosexual.
There you go. Now, the decision has caused outrage after BioWare said in 2009 that gay and lesbian do not exist in the Star Wars universe. Controversial, I see. Tony Perkins.
I saw the way Porkins was looking at him.
Uh-huh. Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council said Star Wars gamers have already gone to the dark side. Writer on the organizer's website, Mr. Perkins commented, "In the new Star Wars game, the biggest threat to the Empire may be homosexual activists. Since the account, homosexuals have been celebrating the news, but parents sure aren't. Their kids will be exposed to the Star Warped way of thinking."
Yeah, as we know, obviously, when you shove homosexuality in kids' faces, it makes them want to be gay, doesn't it?
Apparently. Yes, because, you know, so many straight families have tried that and their kids have still ended up gay.
Mm.
But I tell you what, look, I suppose the end argument to this is, they say there's no such thing as gay in the Star Wars universe, but we've all seen C-3PO, haven't we?
Oh, quiet you! That's just too geeky, even for me.
Yeah, you can join them by logging on and speaking up. It's time to show companies who the Force is really with. Yes, many games.
You went all out on this one, didn't you?
Many games posted on this Star Wars The Old Republic say they welcome the new update, and the game, Star Wars The Old Republic, the mega multiplayer online game, is due for its Australian release in March.
Awesome. Well, I'm actually looking forward to that. I think I might actually play that.
Sounds like a new obsession.
Yeah, if I can find time in my, you know, incredibly busy schedule.
From what I've heard, a lot of Australians have actually been playing it already and have given great feedback. Apparently, it's very well developed and the game itself is a good game in its own right.
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Look forward to seeing that coming up in March. Now, Kevin, I did say earlier this show that I missed what was going on Sunday because I was working.
Were you tied up?
With different components, yes.
Since when do you refer to your boyfriend as a component?
That bloody grey man.
Anyway, this Sunday saw the Melbourne LGBTI community out in force for the Pride March Victoria. Running for the last 17 years, Pride March Victoria recognises and celebrates the people and events that inspire the courage, solidarity, pride, diversity and strong sense of community of Victorians, gay, lesbian, bisexual, intersex and transgender people.
I can definitely tell you there was a fair bit of solidarity with the weather, I hear.
Oh, yes.
But look, the weather was lovely for the march. It was after the march, the problem.
Oh, not before?
Well, the annual Pride March is actually our signature event and celebrates the bright future while preserving our history. It is the key date on Victoria's cultural calendar and a destination for interstate and international visitors. Now, as you said, they obviously managed to order up some very intense weather. I think it went from about 31 degrees to about 10
I heard
in the space of 5 seconds.
I think the term they use is gale blue.
Well, apparently we took the motto out of Chicago for the day because they're the windiest city.
Oh, really? That's what you went with?
Well,
that was the best you could drum up.
I'm sorry.
We gave you an hour.
I did hear it on the radio and I thought that's kind of
cool.
So you
copyright it?
No.
Moving on.
Anyway, thousands of spectators turned out to catch a glimpse of the 115 queer groups that marched, including our very own VicBez members, with the healthy chant of, "We're here, we're furry, and we're proud."
Sounds like something out of
Bring It On.
Bring It On.
That's right, we need to have bear cheerleaders next year.
Write that one down, guys.
Bear cheerleaders. We weren't the only ones there. Some of the other entrants, some of the other entrants include the Victorian Police, the Police Marching Band, Melbourne Queer Film Festival, PFLAG, Victoria AIDS Council, Vintage Men, and of course, Joy 94.9.
It's worth noting with the police, they were actually joined by the Deputy Commissioner, who actually spoke afterwards of the support that he gave the gay and lesbian police officers who were representing.
Right.
Oh, fantastic. Well, even our healthy bear blog writer, Dr. George Forgan-Smith, was out there. He was frolicking about getting video entrance, asking people about what messages of hope and pride they had for those people that couldn't actually make it to the event.
Excuse me, like me.
Suddenly went quiet cooking.
I had some air, but not in the right place.
Look, all in all, Melbourne should really have held their heads high. It was another fantastic event with Pride March under their belt. We showed everyone in the state how we represent.
It did, and it was rather interesting to note that the VicBez this year actually got quite a prominent placing. We were number 22nd, I think.
Oh.
We were up there.
We were very high up, but of course, we had the privilege of being stuck between the Sex Workers of Australia and Vintage Men. I think that pretty much sums up VicBez in a nutshell.
No, it was actually a fantastic march, and it was great to see other, not necessarily directly gay-related, but other just groups out there who represent. And with their support.
Oh, it was fantastic. There were so many people out there. I do believe there was even a sighting of Roger and Bryce, who were later
really?
The Scruppets to hit the scene.
Aren't they those guys from that video?
Well, they're Muppets from that video, or Scruppets from that video.
Mm. Are we going with Scruppets?
I think we should go with Scruppets unless they can come up with a better term.
I think somebody should be going out there making a few phone calls to see if they can come on.
We might get them on. We might actually. Yeah, I think we should get them on.
In the meantime, have a look on YouTube for those two. Yes.
Have we got a song? What was the name of their video? They did a, you know,
things that guys of a certain hairy subgroup say?
That's the one.
Wow, how do I know that one?
Although I found it rather amusing. That meme has kind of gone to the dogs because there's now a things people say about things people say video.
Jump the shark.
It's going a bit nuts. But yeah, that was our Pride March, and I, for one, am very proud of our LGBTI community. Ding!
Excellent. I'd like to see the photos you took.
Oh, there are amazing photos. Go and have a Google out there. There are thousands of them. Our very own VicBez committee member, Craig Ingray, took some fabulous photos. You really should try and hunt them down.
Now, what's this next track we've got coming up?
I don't know. What is it, Kevin?
What are you doing lining our tracks up?
Well, I see the word there, and I'm like just very curious.
It's like you can read the script or something.
I'm reading your mind, Kevin.
Oh, God, help us. You're on Joy 94.9 with the Cubby House Boys, the other sex show on Joy.
And I think with Paulini, I think we're a little bit hotter this week.
We've got Fireman poles.
Exactly.
That was Paulini with Fireman, which is a new release, actually. It was a brilliant song. I love it.
Yes.
Go out and buy it, guys. Fireman poles.
Oh, quiet you. Mute.
Well, hang on a sec. I actually want to ask him, since we're the other sex show on Joy, I'd like to know from you, what's one of your most important pieces of sex advice, Raymond?
Well, I actually had a good think about this, and all I could come back to was the first thing I was told when I met a man for the first time. You know, he said to me,
which translated to what?
I don't really know, but it sounded good.
That's the best answer. We gave you an hour, and that was the best answer you could come up with.
It was either that or better out than in. Yeah, you see.
Yeah, actually, I prefer the first one. Well done.
Yeah, okay, right. Fair enough.
Now, we have been asking a very controversial question tonight on the Cubby House Show.
It has got the board alight.
Yes. What does the Sydney Mardi Gras mean to you? We've had some good feedback. We've had Stephen say, Mardi Gras is observably to the wider community. I don't think that's what he was trying to say, but anyway. The thing that's both necessary and hated by many for showing how diverse we can be, with a big dose of commercialism.
Someone's got to fund it, I suppose.
Fair viewpoint. Fair viewpoint. Oh, I've just been on now, fire tonight.
Would you like to reorganise that tongue before you use it again?
Quiet you. Anyway, Daniel, who's a very long-term listener, says, never been and have little or no desire to go. It seems to have a different agenda these days. I believe it's served its purpose and has evolved accordingly. Being gay isn't a big deal these days. The tables have turned and homophobes are now the minority.
Okay, Daniel.
Wait, I'm not finished. A gay man no longer needs to drink at a gay pub, and a gay man no longer needs to go to Mardi Gras to celebrate being gay. Thanks to our Mardi Gras forefathers, we get to celebrate it every day.
Daniel, daddies go.
That's one way to get him there. No, I think there is still, while there are still things that we need to fight for, as for equality, there are still reasons. There's still a reason to have it.
Yes. Yeah, and just to identify, to let people know that we are still here. Unfortunately, if we don't regularly go out there and say, hey, we're still alive and we're still breathing, other parties are going to turn around and say, well, we haven't heard from them, so I guess they're gone.
Well, as I always say, I am simply fabulous. And I'm going to go out and celebrate regardless.
Well, with your pants on?
Maybe. Maybe gold lamé shorts?
Oh.
We'll talk about that another day. He's
not wearing yours. He's getting his own.
Yeah. I was actually had a discussion about what... Could Mardi Gras be a religious holiday if someone who's... atheist or whatever, and actually declares the Mardi Gras as like a Chinese New Year or something.
What, so we work Christmas and then get Mardi Gras off?
We're so not touching that topic and so moving on. In fact, we only have 2 minutes left. Ray, you managed to survive an entire show.
Again?
Well, no, he wasn't here for the entire show last time.
I'm surprised you survived.
Well, you're the one that was tied up.
Yeah, can you let me go now?
No. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us on this very educational and very fun show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been great, and hopefully I'll be back soon sometime without the bindings.
Never.
Now, if you'd like to continue the discussion, the Facebook is facebook.com/thecoverhouse.
Ooh, French.
Why not?
Ooh la la.
If you quiet! Mute him! Mute him! Mute him!
No, you muted me.
Hi. Oh, was it a slip of the finger? You've had that happen before.
As if, it's a slip of the finger. A slip of a part. Never mind. Anyway, if you want to email us, during the week as well, you can email to contact@thecubbyhouse.net.au.
And for any other discussion, there is always our blog, thecubbyhouse.net.au.
Which you can also get information about the podcast and podcast feed?
Yes. For those who may have thought we don't podcast anymore, wrong. Your feed is incorrect.
Also, everyone out there, keep an eye out for Kevin's new product he's releasing, the honey-flavoured lube.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yes, he did.
You're getting spanked later.
Really? Ooh. What colour's that?
In the not good way.
Oh.
Anyway.
Honey.
Thanks again, guys.
Let's wrap a ribbon on this.
Yes. For tonight, I'm Cookie.
I am Kevin.
Thank you very much to our guest host, Raymond. This has been The Cubby House. Stay tuned for Fluoro coming up right after this on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.